Nintendo's reputation in making you rebuy games you already have isn't wrong, but for those of us who never owned a Nintendo 64, the announcement of N64 games being added to the Nintendo Switch Online service is thrilling. Yours truly purchased an N64 controller within the last decade to make a statement about GoldenEye on the N64 and N64 controllers. Sadly, there's no telling if others will be making the same one anytime soon. This is just one story about the return of our youths. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you about this and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio is live once again tonight with episode number 885 of our show for this September the 26th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me, although she's having some webcam problems on Twitch tonight, we can still hear her, and that's the important part for Orange Lounge Radio. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Oh, hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah,
good. I've had a decent day, although I'm a little sleepy. I woke up too early this morning.
You know, I tried to nap today, and, you know, without giving away where I live, you all know I'm in the Sacramento area, because we all are, but they're doing a freaking air show not far from here. And those planes...
How rude.
Those planes love to break the sound barrier during those air shows. I just don't understand why they have to fly over the neighborhoods. Why didn't they
consult you first?
There's nothing. Yeah, why didn't they consult me first? There's like, why can't they fly over like Slough House? There's nothing but dust out there in a cemetery. Like, go fly over that. Why do you have to fly over the neighborhoods? I hate it. Anyway, I hope you got a nap, because I sure didn't.
No.
Oh, well, that makes two of us grumpy.
Yeah. Tomorrow is going to be when I'll really need the nap and can't have one.
Oh, yes. Why don't you plug your big event tomorrow? We know we got to mention it at some point tonight. So let's do it at the top.
All right. Starting at 7 o'clock Pacific time on my channel, which is DarkSakura_OLR on Twitch, I am doing my very first subathon. And I would love it if people can join in and hang out. That's 7 p.m. Pacific time. I will be going 12 hours, and depending on how many subs I get, determines how long I'm going to keep going.
So, yes, your typical subathons start in the morning, so this is very interesting. You're going to do an all-nighter.
I'm going to do an all-nighter.
Wow.
And I wanted to start something earlier in the day, but I have a chiro appointment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm starting it in the afternoon so that I can get more of my night owl people, because there's some people. But the thing is that I'm going to be with me stopping at 7 in the morning. That's still 10 o'clock East Coast.
Yeah.
And I'll probably still be going, because, I mean, I'm probably just going to be stubborn and keep going.
Well, good luck. And that's going to be a. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of hours. I mean, just the overnight is very, but I guess you've done it before, so.
I'm a night owl anyway, so it'll be fine.
All right.
But there will be like a couple of breaks here and there. But also to point out, I have posted the goals and the prizes, the rewards. I will be doing a giveaway of, at a certain number, I will be doing a giveaway of one of my Death Hook for Cutie shirts and a sticker. And if I hit 300 subs, I will play a Survivor game.
Which is something you've never done outside of a bot match, right?
Pretty much.
All right. Well, good luck. Break a leg, or I should say,
Thanks.
Break some Survivor legs tomorrow.
I'll get the link and post it in chat for right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would love some support, because this is like a big push for me. It's kind of a me putting myself out there kind of thing.
All right. Good luck. It's a crazy time frame in a way, but that's a great for our folks that are overseas, a great chance, because during the day and across the seas in the UK and Australia, it's a huge prime time for Australia. So,
well, and if anyone wants to hop on a VPN and let me kill them when I do kill your friends, then we'll see.
All right. Also joining us, who I do not think will be staying up all night long this week, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
If I will, it won't be to get subs.
It'll be because the kids and the cat are collectively screaming, right?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Is that Excite truck behind you tonight?
No.
Oh, what is it? I'm trying to tell.
It's Motorstorm Apocalypse.
Oh, why that one?
Because that's my favorite one.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Out of the Motorstorm series. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, because everything's like there's tornadoes, earthquakes, meteors, terrorists, I guess, is like an apocalypse thing.
All right.
It was a pretty cool game, though.
All right.
Like buildings falling over.
All right. You have to admit, I haven't played it. It's one of those things. Hopefully they release a collection at some point. That would be
They really need to remaster that series. It would be so good.
Yeah. We've been getting a lot of weird remasters lately. It'd be nice to get something for that, for sure. All right. Let's get in. Speaking of remasters, I know we had some that were mentioned at the Nintendo Direct this week, and I want to get into the kickoff topic, which is, I mean, this has really dominated the news this week, is that Nintendo Direct that they sprung on us for Thursday, right? It was on Thursday. The days just blend together at this point. And I don't know about you guys, but I had kind of set the bar low for this because I figured that Nintendo had pretty much already revealed their holiday stuff. And, you know, between, you know, WarioWare and Metroid, there really wasn't a lot more. I kind of figured we were getting all of it at E3. So my expectations were kind of low. I thought it was going to be the Game Boy rumor for the backwards compatible stuff, which didn't. Nope, that missed the mark, didn't it? So, although, you know, those same rumor people are like, oh, no, it's still coming. But whatever, we'll put that to rest for now. I thought that was going to be like the big thing, is that they were going to do a push for the Nintendo Switch Online, because a lot of people's renewals are right around now. Mine just renewed like last week. So I thought there might be another 99 thing or something, or, you know, some more. And sure, Nintendo Switch Online did come up. We'll get into that. But as far as the other things that were announced, I was tickled. Like, this was a great Direct for me. There were two games in this Direct that got announced. One of them that was released that day. I never thought we'd see games in those series. I just kind of wrote those series off as dead and gone. So for me, I was giddy at Nintendo Direct this week. I don't know how you guys felt. I had a great Direct. Loki, why don't you get into the recap? What were some of the things that were discussed in the Direct? And we'll kind of, since we have extra time tonight for the kickoff topic, we can kind of break it down and talk about each one.
Yeah. So there was a lot of things we saw just like kind of new trailers for. So they gave us a more in-depth look at Metroid Dread. So it's all set on basically one planet with lots of different like biomes and stuff in there. Definitely reminding me a lot of like Super Metroid, that type of thing. So it looks good.
You know, that's weeks away at this point, right? It's early October.
Yeah, October 8th. That's like 2 weeks away. So.
Yeah, 2 weeks away. So, yeah, not surprised to see that show up in the Direct. It's very common for Nintendo to push the games that are upcoming around that week, and even things that may have just released in the last 2 weeks, they'll still kind of push those in the Direct. So I was not surprised to see that at all, but I mean, as if I wasn't going to get it anyway, but sure, maybe some people were still on the fence.
Yeah. We had a new trailer for Splatoon 3, I guess, Return of the Mamillions.
Yeah. They actually showed a little gameplay now. It looks like we got Splatoon vehicles.
Seemed to be the big thing. Looks interesting. So yeah. They showed off a bit more gameplay there, kind of explained a little bit of, you know, what the game was like. So that's pretty cool. That's coming next year.
That seems to be rushing along pretty quick compared to some other Nintendo reveals, one of which was also in the Direct. You all know what I'm talking about, probably. We'll get there.
Yes.
I was just surprised to see Splatoon 3 gameplay that quickly. But great. I think that's awesome. Mike Deft is in our chat, and I should, of course, say we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, V-O-G Network, right after the Bobby Blackwell Show. And Mike Deft is in our chat saying, "The Return of the Mamillions is the title for the single-player campaign."
Ah, yes.
I'll go so far as to say the first non-DLC single-player campaign, because we all know there'll be another one. Bonds 006 is asking, "Rob, did you squeal?" I couldn't watch it live. I have daily meetings at work at 3 o'clock every day, and I can't miss them. So I actually had to wait until 4 to watch. But I was very good about not spoiling myself, and I watched it. And I started doing notes and everything. I was going to post my notes on Twitter. And by the time certain things were announced, I threw it out the window because I was like, I'm just filling up the screen with ease. That's all I've got.
We got another trailer for Triangle Strategy, which is now out March 4th, 2022.
I'm sorry, is still a terrible name for that game. I'm sorry. I know Project Triangle is now Triangle Strategy, starring Triangle Man.
You know, it sounds like those funny is like Project Triangle Strategy sounds like someone trying to discuss like a business plan that's not an MLM but is an MLM.
The triangle
strategy. It's not a pyramid scheme.
Hey, out there on Facebook, I just need 10 people who want to be their own boss to message me to talk about the triangle strategy.
What if that's actually what the game's about? It's trying to get like people signed up for an MLM or something like that. Yeah, I think it's interesting. But yeah, that's coming along. We got the announcement of a Castlevania Advance Collection.
Yay! So. That was exciting. Well, I mean, not a surprise. We knew that was coming. Yeah. Like, we all kind of figured that was in the direct, because, hello, we've had leaks and leaks and leaks of that thing. But Dracula X being in it, that was a surprise.
That's what interests me.
Yeah, right? I bought it. I already bought it. But I bought it on Xbox because I wanted it on my TV.
The run well?
Yeah. I'll talk about later why I'm learning that I really need to think about the systems I buy things on. We'll get into that later.
Yes, let's talk about that right now with the surprise announcement for ActRaiser Renaissance. That was a remaster of the original ActRaiser game that's out on Switch, Steam, PlayStation 4, and mobile devices. And that was a surprise.
Yeah. Like, ActRaiser is like a Super Nintendo, like, I guess you could say, cult favorite of mine, like a game I really hold near and dear to my heart, a game that my friend and I stayed up all night long. We had a Dark Sakura subathon night over the weekend and stayed up all night and played through the entirety of ActRaiser because that game is amazing. And if you don't know ActRaiser, it's kind of a theme I feel like with these retro games that I used to love, right? I never shut up about the Guardian Legend, right? And that's, I think the reason why that game is so fucking good is it blends a shooter with a, like, adventure style game, kind of like Zelda-ish. It blends those two genres together very well. And I think one reason I really liked ActRaiser is that it blends the kind of side scroller action game with a sim game. And the music in that game is phenomenal. Yuzo Koshiro did the soundtrack, which, you know, that's a, you know, that, know that name from like Streets of Rage series and, you know, some other Midnight, Wangan, Maximum Tune. I'm probably get those words all mixed up. But, you know, one of those racing games that Namco did.
I think you got it right.
Did I? Okay, yay.
Wangan, Midnight, Maximum.
That's it. So he did all that. He even did a DDR song for those that, you know, have been following. And that was a big deal when Yuzo Koshiro did a DDR song. Just saying. Anyway, my point is there was an ActRaiser 2. And for whatever reason, they deleted the sim part of the game. And so it was just the action part. I don't know why they did that. But that game did not get the same love that the first game got. So that was the end of ActRaiser. And as far as I could tell, that series was never coming back. When was the last time Quintet made a game? I think they've had some smaller games in the early aughts. But that was about it. So the fact that, also I want to point out, when you launch, because you know I bought this fucking game and then 5 minutes of the announcement as soon as I could on the store, when you launch the game, it said it's Square Enix, so they put, and in the credit it says Quintet/Square Enix. Do you mean to tell me, I don't know if that's just like it's originally Quintet or whatever, or if they actually reformed the old band, because if Quintet is back together, do you know that this increases the chances immensely of a Soul Blazer trilogy remaster? You want to talk about things that are going to, like, really get me to type the letter E in caps. Let's talk about a remaster of the Soul Blazer trilogy. Because if you ever played those games on Super Nintendo, those games are fucking incredible. That Soul Blazer, Illusion of Gaia was the most well-known because Nintendo published that one here in the U.S. And that was the second game. And then Terra Enigma never came out in the U.S. because Nintendo wasn't interested in publishing it. So, like, if that is where we're going, oh my God. Like, I know a lot of people out there were like, why couldn't they do Chrono Trigger or Chrono Cross? Why didn't Square Enix do that? Look, and honestly, it's a fair call out. Why won't they revisit Chrono Trigger or Chrono Cross? I kind of think they're coming. I think they're going to happen, but it's just not what's happening right now. Anyway, I'm sorry, Loki. What else did you want to say? I could talk a lot about this.
No, speaking of another surprise announcement, also from Square Enix, a sequel or spiritual successor to Chocobo Racing with Chocobo GP. That's coming to the Switch as well. So that's a surprise.
Like,
never thought we'd get another one of those games.
Yes, I never thought we'd, like, because that was the first one, not the first one in the Direct, but that was the first one to come up to make me go, what? Like, and you know, sometimes we type like LOL when we're not actually laughing out loud, but like, I literally gay gasped. Okay. And you all know the gay gasp, right? Like, I did that when I saw the Chocobo GP, which I just was like, oh my God, I thought originally it's just, oh, they're doing Chocobo Racing on the Switch. Like, they remastered Chocobo Racing for the Switch. Like, but it turns out it's a whole new game. And I'm thrilled because I love that game on PlayStation.
So that was pretty surprising. We got a brand new Kirby game called Kirby and the Forgotten Land, which also ended up leaking before the Direct. But
and that's when Mike Deft did the gasp that I could hear all the way over here.
So that game looks pretty much like Kirby done this, you know, Mario Odyssey style. So that's pretty awesome looking, actually. And that's coming out April 2022. It's like some weird post-apocalyptic looking game, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, Bobby Blackwolf in chat calls it The Last of Kirby. And then Mike Deft says it got leaked. So he did the gasp in the morning. So I didn't know the whole thing got leaked. Work had me really busy that day. So I guess that's a good thing. I was able to kind of avoid all the leaks. But the Kirby thing struck me very much as like a Mario 3D All-Stars. The one that's not like, you know what I mean? Like the 2.5D, you know, it's like, you know what I mean? The one that was on 3DS.
Yeah.
That one. Like it strikes me as like that, but Kirby. And I thought it looked cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
I'll get it. I probably will get it.
We got some new footage and talk about Bayonetta 3, which I'm sure everyone was very excited about since it's been so long. It's still coming out next year, though, at some point.
Yeah, that was a big... I mean, that was the last thing they showed, basically. That was a huge... Well, I mean, it's kind of one of those things when they showed it. Like, I think I literally said out loud, it's about time. But I think most of us had figured they probably weren't going to show it for a while. And also it was that whole thing about, I don't think people were expecting this Direct to be that loaded. Like, and that's probably a good thing. For once, we all approached a Direct with a pretty low bar, and I think we got very rewarded for it. So the Bayonetta 3 footage was a huge surprise, a nice surprise. It looks great. A lot of people speculating there's some crossover in that Bayonetta 3, that this might be a universe kind of game. So could be interesting to see how that plays out. Cause when the footage first showed up, people were like, holy fuck, it's Astral Chain coming back. And then, oh, it's okay. Bayonetta's still cool, but boo, I wanted a new Astral. Well, maybe worlds are colliding. We'll see. We'll see. Mike Deft calls it a platinum verse. Yeah, absolutely. DJ Rama S in chat says Bayonetta 3 featuring Dante from the Devil May Cry series. Well, there was a gentleman that showed up at the end. Some were saying it was Dante. I don't know if I particularly see that, but I think that's very interesting. So,
yeah.
All right.
Then we also got the announcement that there's going to be an expansion pass for an online service, DLC for an online service. Gotta love that. And so that's going to be in the form of the Nintendo 64 and Genesis games coming to Switch Online for an additional fee that we haven't discussed yet what that fee is necessarily. But we have the announcements coming late October. They're going to launch with Super Mario 64, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, Mario Kart 64, Win Back, Star Fox 64, Mario Tennis, Yoshi's Story, Dr. Mario 64, and Sin and Punishment. And then there's going to be additional games coming out later on. Like, I think they showed, like, remember Pokemon Snap in there. And, gosh, I'm trying to think of some of the other games that were in there real quick. But yeah, Kirby 64, The Crystal Shards, Paper Mario, Banjo-Kazooie, Majora's Mask, F-Zero X, and Mario Golf were the other ones that were shown off as coming soon. Then they also showed off the Genesis games in that collection. So you've got Castlevania Bloodlines, Contra Hardcore, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, Echo the Dolphin, Golden Axe, Gunstar Heroes, Musha, Phantasy
Star Heroes
4, Restar, Shining Force, Shinobi 3, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Streets of Rage 2, and Strider.
Did anyone else have a very big, like, Keanu Reeves in the early Matrix movies, whoa, moment when the Genesis stuff is appearing? Like, and maybe we're all desensitized to it now from Mario and Sonic the Olympics. But, I mean, to see Sega Genesis is part of the enhanced Nintendo package, it definitely gave me a whoa kind of moment. Like, damn.
It would have given me a moment like that when I was 15.
Right. Like go back and show that footage to my 15-year-old self and see what happens, right? Like, I come from the future, and guess what? Sega's going to basically be a part of Nintendo's Plus subscription. It's
I would have had that reaction all up until about 2003.
Yeah. I still think it's weird. I'm not like surprised or it's like, oh,
it's unexpected
that.
To yes. your sensibilities.
Yes. Yes.
They're also going to be selling probably impossible to get wireless controllers for the N64 and Sega Genesis, all for $50 each. But of course, you have to be a member of.
I'm sorry, Loki. That's the part that did it. The Sega Genesis controller for my Nintendo system. That's what broke me. That was the dot in Jeremy Baramy. That was the part that broke me. Anyway.
I have a big problem with this, of course. I don't like the fact that this is going to be an additional fee that I have to pay on top of the Nintendo online service. Because, honestly, I don't think it's worth it. It's not worth it for me to constantly pay for these. I'd rather just pay a flat fee for the collection. Hell, you can probably pay a flat fee for that collection of at least the Genesis games.
Yeah, I was going to say that Genesis, I mean, it's
honestly
that collection exists. Yeah.
Like, why don't they just create those Nintendo Classic collections, sell them for $60, much like they would with hardware, but just don't sell it with the hardware. Just have it as a collection, you buy it, and it has the menu interface, done. There you go.
Because when they piecemealed it before, everybody said they should do Netflix. And now they're doing Netflix, and everybody says go back to piecemeal. So, like, on that side...
Well, because their Netflix service sucks, because they don't have any titles on their Netflix service is the problem. You can't have Netflix if you don't have... If you have, like, 10 videos on there. Like, you gotta have more content that's available on there. Mm-hmm. That's why people are complaining. It's like, hey, you haven't updated your service for a long time. Now they're like, we want more money to update our service.
Well, what
I'm
if...
I'm sorry.
What if... Hold on. I'm only gonna play, like, devil's advocate here for a second. Because I Loki, for the most part... I'm also just kind of like, I probably just won't get it. Like, unless it's really low cost, like $5 a month or less. And even then, I'm still like, maybe I'll get it for the first 2 months and then get rid of it or not pay for it for a year. So, like, I do agree with you. However, there's a part of this that makes me go, because there is such an interesting, strong lineup, especially on the Genesis side of things. What if the additional money is to try to lure more of those third-party games they're missing onto the service by being able to provide additional money to those third-party IP holders to fill in the gaps? You know,
Just speculate all day long about that and then pay them money and then have them do nothing. That's pretty much what you can expect with Nintendo. I mean, because I doubt that they're going to do any of that. They're going to put the minimal amount of effort into this. So, cool. At least there's four-player multiplayer on the Nintendo 64, so they did that at least.
F-Zero four-player, F-Zero X four-player multiplayer? Like, fuck yeah, I'm here for it.
Let's hope it doesn't suck ass because, you know, their online service needs help as it is.
The Super Nintendo and Nintendo One runs all right. I haven't done it a lot, but I've used it before, and it ran fine.
But, I have problems with that, especially when we're not when they're not confirming a price yet.
Yeah, I want to hear what the price is.
They're probably like, okay, what do you guys suggest the price should be? You know, they're just trying to feel it out, which is, it's stupid, but whatever. Okay. It is what it is. So other interesting announcements. So we knew that there was going to be the Illumination Mario movie, and we got announcements of the voice actors that are coming to that.
Can we
and
skip this part? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm irritated.
So we've got, you know, of course, Chris Pratt as Mario, Anna Taylor-Joy.
Same.
You know what? I like that, actually. Chris Pratt was great in the other animated movies that he's done, like the Lego movies and stuff. I think he'll be great for this.
I don't want Chris Pratt to have any work, but...
I don't care for him as a person anymore either. If this was 10 years ago at the height of Parks and Rec, I might feel differently. But I also, even if I were to put that aside, I kind of feel like he is everywhere right now. And it's just a little bit like the lazy choice to me. But I mean, the reality is, like, and I'm just going to say, I probably wasn't going to see the movie anyway. Because I just don't go to movies. I still haven't seen the Sonic movie. And I like the Sonic voice cast. So
Sonic movie was great.
Yeah, I just don't get around.
I haven't even seen it yet.
Yeah, and that's, you know, so let me put it this way. This announcement is just not making me go, oh, shit, I can't wait to see it. I'm just like,
They have Charlie Day as Luigi, which would be hilarious. Jack Black as Bowser. Seth Rogen doing Donkey Kong. Keegan-Michael Key as Toad is going to be interesting. And then Charles Martinet is going to have other voice cameos in the movie as well. And then they've got some other folks doing some of the other roles in there as well.
Can we talk about Charles Martinet for a minute? Because there's a lot of people that are very mad that he wasn't cast as Mario. Now, the one thing I did say a long time ago on this show was that he's not going to get the part of Mario. He was never going to. And that is no disrespect to Mr. Martinet, who I think is a wonderful person and is a real delight at trade shows and has brought, you know, great personality to Mario. That's just not the way Hollywood works, unfortunately. Your faves that do things on TV or even on stage in Broadway, rarely do the folks on stage on Broadway get cast in the movies. Look what's happening with Dear Evan Hansen right now. Like, it's backfiring big time because that guy is too old to be playing that part. And it's kind of causing the movie to become a meme at this point. Charles Martinet was never going to get the part of Mario. I think it's very nice that they're acknowledging and giving him a part in the movie after all. And I bet dimes to dollars he's going to play Mario's dad. Because that's the type of thing, if maybe Wario, but I'm going to guess they're going to stunt cast Wario for a sequel. So my guess is Mario's dad, because like Mario's family outside of Luigi is something you've never seen.
He's Waluigi.
I think they saved them for a sequel with people I can't stand, with Tom Cruise in the role, or people I hate even more. So like, it's just... I think he'll play Mario's dad, and it's going to be one of those. It'll be like
Mario's dad is Dr. Mario. How about that?
I'm going to spoil a 15 plus year old movie. Do you remember at the end of the South Park movie when Kenny finally took his hat off and got to say like one line? And I think they had somebody kind of epic voice Kenny, right? I don't remember. But anyway, it's going to be that. It's going to be like Charles Martinet gives two lines and it's Mario's dad. Bobby Blackwolf is bringing up something he brought up on his show tonight, saying, I wouldn't want to listen to Martinet's Mario for an hour and a half. And I think that's a fair call out. Charles Martinet as Mario is very high pitched. It works for the games. But let me ask this question. Has Charles Martinet ever done a full voice Mario inside a game? I'm fully aware.
Just phrases here and there.
Yeah, just phrase. Like, has there ever been a game? Now, I know he has done full voices for Mario at trade shows, conventions. We all know that infamous Bobby Blackwolf bumper where he talks in Mario and then I think in Wario on that show. And that was all. I was there at E3, too. I just didn't think to get a bumper. Oh, no, because we cut the line. But that's another story. there was that whole thing. And so, yes, I know he does the voice of those things, but I don't think he's ever officially done more than like, wahoo, wahoo, yeah. Like, and those, he does those incidentals in the games, but I don't think he's ever done much more than that. So we don't really know what Charles Martinet's Mario sound like. And one other thing, he's not the first person to have the role. hello, Captain Lou Albano. And Bobby actually also did an excellent job recapping. There's been Peter Cullen did the voice of Mario at one point. I'd forgot about that. So Charles Martinet doesn't own Mario, unfortunately. Love him, adore him, glad he's involved in the movie in some capacity. He never was going to be Mario. I certainly would take him over what we're getting, but it is what it is. I would have rather seen Charlie Day get the Mario part, honestly. I don't hate him as Luigi. Anyway.
Yeah. And then I was also going to mention that there's other announcements for different directs as well. So we had a tease of some content coming to Animal Crossing. So we're going to be getting Brewster's back in the museum.
Finally.
There's a direct coming as well towards the, I think, end of October.
Yeah, I definitely thought of Jamie when I saw that. And I thought of myself and a reason to go to
I mean, to have to play again.
My town again. It's sounding like it's going to be paid DLC, though. But if it's comprehensive, I'm willing to, you know, I outside of this N64 thing we've just been dragging Nintendo with, when it comes to the DLC they put out for games, because they spent a long time on Hyrule Warriors DLC too. I think we're kind of played out on that too. But like the DLC that Nintendo does is very strong. I don't think they ever let down with the DLC. So like I'm willing to kick $20 because I feel like my $20 for Animal Crossing is going to get a lot. But anyway, I guess we'll find out when we get to that direct later on.
Yeah. And then along with that, the last Smash Ultimate Fighter is going to be announced on October 5th at 7 a.m. Pacific time is going to be the last Smash Direct that we have. So look forward to that.
I did like that they acknowledged that because I think there were a lot of people going. That was the other big rumor for this Direct is that people were like, oh, it's about that time. This is going to be the last Smash reveal. So they were very smart to say, not today, but here's the day. So at least they kind of threw him a bone on that.
Yeah. So that'll be coming soon. That's pretty much it.
SSJ100 Matt in chat says the last Smash character is going to upset folks no matter who it is. Guaranteed. Yep. Bet on it. You can count on that 100%.
Especially if it's another, I remember the
Fire Emblem.
Now. Yeah, it's another Fire Emblem character. Yeah.
I'll ask because I have to. Like, what realistically? Like, I really want you to put on your. We've been talking about video games for nearly 20 years. Hat. What do you realistically think is the last Smash Brothers DLC character?
I don't even know.
It's the Guardian.
The Guardian? That sounds wishful, not...
That was just me saying what I wanted to say.
I'll go with mine. I'm really torn between two. I think there is a serious chance it's Waluigi. I do not think that's off the table. I think that's there is a chance. I'm going to give you that whole Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber. Or was that the other guy? Anyway, there's a chance. I also think there is a very real possibility it's a major Microsoft character. I mean, Master Chief.
Master Chef.
Master Chef. Why not? We got Minecraft Steve. We got Banjo-Kazooie. Master Chief definitely seems like the way to just
or they can announce
fire off
multiple
the
characters.
And that's going to be the one that pisses off the Nintendo fans the most. Just wait. So this is not wishful thinking. You know, again, if I was going to say who I wanted, I'd go along what Dark Soccer is saying. I want the dude from ActRaiser. I want God.
No,
I want God to be
the
last. Well, because you play God in ActRaiser, so I want God to be the last DLC. But it's not going to happen.
It's more like you're playing as Avatar, but yeah.
All right, Loki, you're not going to put anything out there.
I don't know. Let's see.
I'm looking in chat. Orange Wright says Rayman. I think that's a very well thought out answer.
Yes. Let's do Rayman. It's going to be a rabid.
That'd be
terrible.
I could see it.
What if
that's
it's
a
Pikmin?
Yeah, if it's a rabid, then everybody could say, how about, you know, hey, let's support Ubisoft and all of their sexism. Yay.
The Squid Kids are in there, right?
Yeah, and the Pikmin, you have the doctor guy that has all the Pikmin. So
it's just going to be Brewster, okay? He's going to come out there and drink coffee, and anyone who tries to touch his coffee siphon gets kicked in the face. At least that would be what I would be with my coffee.
Dark Tetsuya wanted to bring up from the direct and chat saying, one last thought on the direct. I was legit shocked to see Shadowrun trilogy in the sizzle reel. My wife has been wanting a port of that for years. Oh, yeah. Good call. That was a good. We're kind of leaving out some stuff from sizzle reels and stuff. But yeah, that was a neat thing to see. I was also very interested in that card tabletop looking RPG game that Square Enix is doing. When they started showing the cards, I was like, oh my god, are we getting Cold Step 2? Like, is this really like the best day ever
voice
for
of
Rob
cards? The Isle Dragon Roars, I guess.
So anything else on the direct, Logie?
I mean, that was a lot of the stuff that I wanted to cover, basically. I mean, there is other stuff like Disc Elysium, the Final Cut and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's more ports of different games coming to the Switch as well. I don't know. I'm excited about the Mario movie, even though it comes out next year, next holiday. So I'm looking forward to a trailer. Hopefully we get that pretty soon. I'm hopeful for it. Like, Detective Pikachu was like something that sounded like it would be really really live action with Pikachu, and that was an excellent movie, such an excellent movie. So I'm hopeful. Illumination does good work. I'm very hopeful to see something.
Let me toss it to chat real quick. Is there anything else in the direct, kind of like what Dark Tetsuya said, that we missed that you want to bring up in chat? Because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. Twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. If there was anything else that caught your eye in the direct that you wanted to share with us. Still some chat on that final Smash character. Tiger Claw saying, what about the dude from the recent Yakuza game? I just don't see it because that series doesn't really exist on Switch. I know that didn't stop other things from showing up, but I just don't see that one appearing. As much as we get Master Chief, I could see a major PlayStation icon showing up. But we also kind of got that with...
Doom Guy? Awesome.
I mean, maybe. Crash Bandicoot, says Bobby Blackwolf.
Oh, come on. You know Sony... It. Well, I mean, that is Activision, but... I was going to say, you know Sony doesn't play ball like that, but...
Or Spyro.
Spyro? No one knows who Spyro is anymore. Not outside anymore. Skylanders. Skylanders isn't a thing
I was gonna say Skylanders. They know what Skylander is.
Because they milked that to its dead. It's just like everything else. And unfortunately, so far though, the only teat that hasn't dried up is the Call of Duty teat. So, you know, that'll be going on forever. It's a nice stale milk there.
Yeah. E3VL says EMMI to promote Metroid Dread, which comes out 3 days after. I get that from the corporate synergy angle, and your logic in getting to that conclusion makes absolute sense. That being said, the backlash to that would be massive. I just feel like the expectations are higher.
It also mentioned that the OLED Switch is coming out on the 8th as well. That's only 2 weeks away.
Not
that anyone
will
ever be able to get that.
Good call. What if we got, like, as the last character, just a Ness? And I don't mean the boy from Earthbound. Like, I mean something like Rob the Robot, but it's a Ness. I could see.
That'd be like fighting the car in Daytona in Fighters Mega Mix.
Why not? I could see it. It'd be weird. All right.
Can someone port Salty Bet to the Switch, please?
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I want it to be Sakurai himself. I would love that, actually, but I see them more doing like an official me pack for that. I think that's...
Yeah, we wanted Reggie at one time to be in Smash Brothers. I would be down
and
with that.
Through the Miis,
can't do that anymore.
People have kind of done that, so yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the types of games that we have been playing this week, whether it's Smash or something else. How was your gaming week? And we'll start with Loki. How was your gaming week? All right, I did it out of order on accident. Sorry, Loki, just go ahead, and then we'll go back to Jamie. The order of the cameras is off tonight. Go ahead, Loki.
So I actually did play something other than Minecraft this week. I played several hours of Power Wash Simulator.
I've been watching you on Discord. I see that you're playing that, and I'm like, oh, I need to get that game. I really do.
It's pretty fun. It's just, it's a good game, like, after work. like when I'm just like brain dead from just the boredom of work, it's a good kind of like buffer game between that and actually like having to think for like Minecraft. It's just mindless. I mean, it's really what it is. But yeah, it's fun. I've been enjoying it quite a bit. So yeah, I've been playing that. And then, of course, Minecraft, still working on stuff for that. Started designing the Mega Base stuff. So I've been doing that and fighting with a custom design for a redstone elevator. So those are a lot more complicated than I thought. So I started filming parts of it this morning, and then I'm going to be building stuff and filming the rest of it, and hopefully putting out an episode middle of this week. So look forward to that. Oh, I did put out a short earlier this week as well. Really only pertains to anybody that watches like Herbicraft and like Last Life stuff. Now there's a meme that's kind of part of that I made a data pack for Minecraft for, you know, trying to capitalize on those views and stuff, but no one cares. So that's it.
I'm sorry, Tiger Claw in chat says you guys should try Gas Station Simulator, and I'm with E3 VL. What are you simulating in that?
You run a gas station, but it's also like crime, because like there's a story that goes along with that. I watched there's a channel I watch called Let's Game It Out. It's a guy that plays games like I do, where he tries to break them, and he's hilarious. But so with that, though, there is like a storyline. You get this like gas station, you buy it, or I guess it's your uncle's gas station or something like that. And you kind of fix it up, and then you kind of run it. But then at the same time, you also can do like crime. So I guess you're like gun running or like front for like drug running or something like that. So it's a little bit crime sim, a little bit of like, I don't know, there's like mafia in it and stuff. It's weird, but it's a fun sim game. You get to just run stuff, check people out, you know, fix cars, you can pump gas, design stuff. I don't know, people like those sims.
All right, yeah, it sounds interesting. I'll check it out. All right, so if that's it for your gaming week, Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I played Fantasian, and I played Dead by Daylight. And I've also decided, though, that for tomorrow when I do my marathon, my break game is going to be Final Fantasy 14.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. You know, just like in between, you know, murdering people, survivors, you know. I also did play a little bit of pinball. My World Cup soccer is home. We got our Dan finally put the color DMD in it, and she looks gorgeous. I'm going to put a video up on TikTok later.
Yeah, I want to see that color display. I bet it's a beautiful thing for that table.
Well, maybe I'll post it during the show.
Fun. All right. Well, if that's it for your gaming week, then I'll get to my gaming week. I actually had a pretty busy gaming week, so I actually took some notes on what I played this week. I did play some of my usual stuff, some of the stuff that Jamie just mentioned. Final Fantasy 14, still working my way up to all my jobs being 80 before Endwalker. And I've also been playing Dead by Daylight here and there, just a little bit. Nothing too exciting going on in that game, just trying to build out more of my characters. I ran some killers pretty good today, though. I'm getting better at it. I played No Man's Sky, of course. I play that game a lot. I started a new game because why not? I wanted to do one where I could redeem my Twitch stuff and the stuff I got from Expeditions. I wanted to do that like early on in my save. So I was just randomly doing that earlier in the week. But then my play on that just kind of got derailed because, of course, the Nintendo Direct happened. And so I've been playing all this other stuff, too. One thing I should mention, actually, before the Nintendo Direct, I did get WarioWare. So I didn't get it last week. I did get it this week. And so I actually did play through a little bit of it. Where, you know, I'm unlocking some of the characters. I got to the Nintendo Classics level. That's always the one I want to see in a WarioWare game. And yeah, I mean, I enjoy it. It's I think the twist that the new characters put on it is interesting. I think it's a fair criticism to say some of them are pretty samey. Like, I think Mona, who kind of just is like nonstop movement, and is it 8-bit, is also nonstop movement. It's kind of the same gimmick. So some of them are a little samey, but otherwise I kind of like how it changes the mini game a little bit when you have different characters. And I like how not all of them necessarily make sense as well for the mini games. So you really have to think, and it makes you kind of think a little bit faster in that regard. So yeah, I I dig the new WarioWare. I've been having a good time checking that out. I was making good progress on that, but then the Nintendo Direct happened, and there were a couple games I had to get from that. So, of course, one of them was ActRaiser Renaissance. I was on that within minutes. And I started playing the game, and right as I'm starting to play the first level, I'm noticing, oh, there's performance issues in this. And it instantly made me regret getting it on Switch when I realized it had also released on PlayStation 4 and PC. And that's exactly why they make those deals to be in the Nintendo Direct and things like that, because it's exactly what I fell for, and I should know better at this point. I saw the thing in the Nintendo Direct. I'm like, I need to have that right now. Oh, it's on the store today. I'm going to go get it. And I didn't even think, is it out on other stores too? Because a lot of things like this is cross-platform. Now, the performance issues weren't a like game ruiner for me, but it was something I noticed. And I was like, God damn it. You know, it's just something that was kind of like a little bit of a setback. Otherwise, the music was apparently kind of remastered by Yuzo Koshiro himself. The music sounds great. There's a lot of little touches that really feel like the old ActRaiser game. That's really cool. I like that they've decided to expand on the story a little bit. I guess they don't feel as confined to some of those simple text boxes that the original had, and they're kind of fleshing out, like when another character, kind of a special character, starts wandering around the town, they kind of flesh that out into its own thing. And I noticed the story is very, it's a lot more, it gets a lot more deeper on the whole, like, why are you helping people that can't help themselves? And it gets these very deep sort of like topics, you know, theological things that, I don't know if I want to get into on OLR, but because that's a touchy subject for a lot of people. But depending on what your perspective is on all that, you might see some different things in the story that I didn't really notice before. Well, because they changed it. On the not so great side, well, mixed. They've done things to make the game longer, which is fine. I mean, because the original game you could beat in one sitting if you were dedicated. It only took a few hours to get through. So you decided to make the game longer. For example, your townspeople no longer seal off monster lairs by themselves. You have to go into the monster lairs and do a much shorter action segment to actually seal them off. Okay, I'm all right with that. It's interesting. It kind of gives a little
How more... dare the people not do something for themselves?
I know. Well, that's a big part of the story. So, you know, it's very interesting, sort of like, you're waiting for God to fix all your problems. Why can't you fix your own problems when God gives you the tools to do it? Is very
That's how it should be.
And that's not that anyone asked for my take on religion, but that's kind of what it is. God isn't going to fix our problems. God gives you the tools to do it. But anyway, I'm not going to get too deep. I think it's interesting how the story kind of gets into that. So that part I'm okay with. What I'm less okay with is that they decided to, all right, if we're going to have an action genre and a sim genre, let's throw in a tower defense genre too to enhance the sim game. I don't think that lands so well. It kind of artificially makes the game longer. It's not something I signed up for as a part of ActRaiser. Doesn't really have a lot of depth to it. I was really disappointed to see them kind of futz with the game's formulas by putting in this tower defense game that's unavoidable. I really wish they had made that. I mean, you could like take it all the way down to the easiest level and it probably is not going to be a problem or anything, but I just wish that they would have made a version of the game that really is just a remaster of the original, and not necessarily added in extra gameplay mechanics that weren't even a part of the original game. That landed a little bit disappointing for me, unfortunately. Otherwise, what else was I going to say with that? I don't walk away from the game feeling negative. I do feel overall it's pretty positive. But yeah, that was just a thing that made me go, I wish they wouldn't kind of throw off the balance of the remaster like that. You know, it's not the same thing. You know, I think back to like what were like some great remasters that have happened. I think like Wonder Boy: The Dragon's Trap is one of the best ones. It's just the same game, but now it's on the widescreen. You can hit a button to flip back and forth between old and new graphics. It looks great and all that. I would have rather, instead of them adding this whole tower defense thing into it, that they would have added new areas. Just expand the world. Instead of 6 stages, give us 8 stages or whatever. I would have rather seen the game go that direction instead of kind of a little more artificially making the game a little bit longer. But at the end of the day, maybe they'll fix that. I don't know. I guess they could always patch it or something. Who knows? But at the end of the day, I do think, you know, I love ActRaiser. And so as a fan of the game, I was very happy to see that this game exists. And I don't regret spending money on it because I want to support this idea that Quintent is going to go back and remaster old games. But if they do remaster the Soul Blazer trilogy, please, please don't do what you did here and add new things just for the sake of new game mechanics. Like, please keep the game what it was with maybe a bonus dungeon or something like that. That would be much better. Dartusi in chat says, oh yeah, Dragon's Trap was great. It also had FM remixes of the SMS music. Yeah. Another remaster that I think did the new stuff very well, Blaster Master Zero. I think is an incredible remaster. And yeah, they went a slightly different direction from the base game, but I think all of it still stuck to what the game was. And I think it succeeded so well. They've done a part 2 and a part 3, which aren't even, now it's like its own thing. It's like not even canon to the original game technically, but I think it's really rad with that. I think that's also a benchmark for what remasters should be, is the Blaster Master Zero franchise. So, you know, that's all. Okay. One other game I checked out this week was the Castlevania Collection. This time, I didn't buy that right away. I actually waited because I was so into the ActRaiser thing. I think I waited till the next day. And so I actually went to pot. And I think because of the performance thing that happened to me on the Switch, that's why I got it on Xbox. I would have got it on PS5 if I had a PS5. But I just, since I have a Series X, I went for Xbox. And I got to say, that collection turned out very well. I played a little bit of Dracula X, and I played a little bit of the first advance. I can't remember all the names now. The first advance game. I played a little bit of that because I have to remember when those games were newer. I keep wanting to say Castle of Illusion, but that's the Disney game. But thank you, Circle of the Moon. Thank you, Jade. Sacred Jade in chat. I played a little bit of that one. That is a hard fucking game. I got murdered by that first boss pretty quick. Ugh, that was irritating. But otherwise, I'm having a good time with it. And I play a little bit of a Dracula X. It plays great on the big screen. I have to say, I like some of the things that Konami, or I guess maybe M2, really did to kind of enhance the games with, like, the fact that you can save anywhere. I mean, it basically is that earlier Castlevania collection with different games. It's that, but it worked out very well. I'm a fan. I think if you enjoy those Castlevania games, it's been a while since you've visited the advanced games like myself. I hear Aria of Sorrow is a terrific game, and from what I remember, what little I played of it, it was. I can't wait to get there. So there's a lot of value, and I think the collection was only $19.99, maybe $29.99. I don't think it was. I think it was $19.99. Somebody in chat might correct me on the price, but I think it was only $20, and that's a pretty good value. And like, thank you. Sacred Jade said it was $20. Thank you. And like Dark Sakura said, it has Dracula X. That was a huge surprise and a nice thing to see in there. So, and you can switch between region releases. They briefly mentioned that in the trailer, but I think that is a really cool addition. So if you want to play the Japanese version of any of those games, or the European version now of any of those games, you can easily switch on the main menu. So I thought that was really great. So yeah, I recommend the Castlevania Advance Collection. It's great. No performance issues on Xbox. Except I absolutely have to use that D-pad on my Series X. Thank God they redid the Series X D-pad. Works so much nicer when you have to do like a double tap to run. Works much better than using the nub. So that was my gaming week. There was a lot, sorry, but some new stuff and some things to get into. So yeah, obviously I was very excited about the ActRaiser thing and all that. So, and you know I'm going to be all over that Chocobo GP or whatever, the Chocobo Racing 2, whatever they ended up calling it, in 2022, whenever that actually
Chocobo
releases.
GP.
I know, it's Chocobo Racing 2 to me. All right, let's move on. We've got some more news for you guys. Actually, before we get into that, Pod Culture in chat mentions my gaming week, Diablo 2. I mentioned last week I was having a little bit of an ethical conundrum on I want to support certain people that made the game. I want to support the frontline workers. I don't want to support Bobby Kotick. What I decided to do is that I am going to buy the game, but I'm going to buy it next month because the higher-ups love to tout the sales the first week, the first month sales and all that stuff. That's the stuff that's important to them. So I will not be a figure in that, and I'm going to buy it in October. And that's my choice, and whatever choice you landed on is your choice, and that is perfectly fine. You know all the cards on the table. And there are a few more cards as of this week, aren't there, Loki?
Yep. So, you know, because they still haven't, agreed to or even considered the wants of their employees. The U.S. government now is investigating Activision Blizzard. The Securities and Exchange Commission has launched their investigation. And they've also subpoenaed Bobby Kotick to see what exactly he knew and when. Apparently, the company is cooperating with the SEC, according to Activision. Or, I'm sorry, Helene Klaske, who is the Activision spokesperson. And, yeah, this is just kind of escalating after basically hearing the news that I guess they're still at their union busting activities and they're still, you know, not following the guidance that the SEC has told them to follow. And so, you know, they'll get down to the bottom of it one way or the other. Along with that, though, the
Can
chief
I just
legal...
quickly about the Bobby Kotick subpoena. All I have to say is good. Like, I don't want to say I'm excited for this because it should have never gotten to this. But be that as it may, since we are in this scenario and the responses of the Blizzard employees have still not been responded to, then I think the government, the government is finally doing something right, and it's a rush to see, and I really hope it's televised, and I hope I get to see it. And quite frankly, I feel like emailing my representatives and providing some questions that I would like to see answered. I'm only kind of disappointed they're not bringing in Yves Guillemot too. I don't know if you get into weird things it's like a French, but I mean, it's probably a little more complicated. So I'm willing to kind of, but I would have liked to have seen him come in too, but I'm glad that one of the faces of the industry is going to finally have to respond to this.
But Ubisoft still has like offices in the United States.
I know. That's why I feel like he should be
like, untouchable.
He should be subpoenable, or if not, then they should have somebody who's over the U.S. division, and that person should be subpoenable. I just want to see Katie Porter and her whiteboard show up. That is all I want from this. And by the way, Katie Porter is from Southern California. I don't know if she represents Irvine's district, but she's really fucking close. So I would be fucking thrilled if that makes an appearance, because I want her to ask Bobby Kotick a question that she's asked a lot of people that have been dragged up there. What have you done to earn your bonuses that you're getting with all of this that's going on behind the scenes?
I just want this. What have you done?
Period.
What
I want to email my representatives, and I encourage all of you to do this. Go to that I'm so embarrassed because I don't remember the Twitter account in the moment. I think it's A Better ABK is the account. Somebody can correct me on that if I'm wrong. That's the employees and their questions and all that stuff. Since Bobby Kotick will not respond to the employees this way, I want the folks on Capitol Hill to ask the questions. Why won't you respond to your employees on these issues? So ask them in front of the entire public. Thank you, Mike Deft. A Better ABK. I hate that it's come to this, but I'm so happy it's happening.
Yeah, I'm glad something's been being done. So, yeah. One company down. Hopefully there's actual like something actually comes of this. One thing that did come of this so far is that their chief legal officer has quit amid the lawsuit. So Claire Hart has resigned from the company as of Friday, September 17th. Via her LinkedIn post, she announced that. No plans on necessarily where she's going to move to, but taking a break from the craziness. So
does, let me ask this question. Does anyone blame her?
No.
Crickets.
It's probably a really awkward place to be, especially you're defending a company and what they've done. It's like, ethical conundrum there.
I don't want to see this end in like the fall of Blizzard, because I know several people that work there who are wonderful, and I don't want to see them impacted. But what I do want I want it to be the fall of Bobby Kotick, to be quite frank. And I do want to see more new folks that rise to the top.
I want to see accountability.
Yes. Good way to put that succinctly. That's what I want. I want accountability. I don't want to see the company close. That would be horrible. There's too many creative people and too many talented people for this to close. I mean, sure, they'd probably all end up somewhere else in the industry. I don't want them to have to go through that. Isn't this enough? Yeah.
We need integrity and accountability.
Yes. And so I hope they bring some of that on the table with Bobby Kotick. Now, some valid concerns in chat. SSJ100 Matt in chat says, I'm just worried that Kotick's lawyers are going to file countless injunctions, so that he doesn't have to answer questions for a while. You're gonna answer for it eventually, Bobby. So
the longer that they put it off, the worse it's going to be.
Bingo.
As my mama used to tell me when she'd ask me to tell the truth if I did something wrong.
As an old boss many years ago with another company I worked at used to tell me, either you're going to pay for it on the front end or you're going to pay for it on the back end. There it is. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I just thought Rob was yelling at me that I was going to have to answer. Yes, Bobby Blackwolf. Get in front. No, I think Bobby Blackwolf should ask the questions, quite frankly. Bobby versus Bobby. Let's do it. All right.
Bobby on Bobby.
All right, moving on. Let's get to our next story, which has to do with other retro dealings on the Switch. This is outside of the Nintendo 64 and Genesis stuff we were earlier talking about, because some people are saying, well, this must be the end of NES and Super Nintendo, right? Because, I mean, the well's been looking pretty dry over there, with some of the recent releases have not been exactly thrilling. But Nintendo did confirm there are still plans to release more NES and Super Nintendo games. We don't know what they are, but just that there are plans. To remind you, we got such recent great releases like Claymates, Bomboozle, and Jelly Boy. I remember one of those games. So, but there will be more stuff coming soon. A lot of people are saying Earthbound? And I agree, Earthbound would be one I would have thought we would just see out of encouragement to renew for another year by now. Super Mario RPG, of course, is like the Super Nintendo game everybody's... I think that one gets a little more complicated, because, of course, it's really Square's game and some of their people. That's why I kind of toyed with that idea earlier. Maybe this is why they're jacking up the price, sort of. In this way that they're doing it, to try to get more money in the pot so they can put a dump truck full of money on Square's porch to get them to hand over the game already. Who knows? I, in my opinion, use the dump truck of money to make a Super Mario RPG 2, and I think fans will be 50 times happier, but that, you know, I'm asking for a lot. I realize that. So, no word if at the end of October the NES and SNES catalogs will be updated at all. That is when we're going to get the N64 and Sega Genesis games. So there's that. Dark Tetsuya brings up a good point. A lot of those have legal red tape, which is why I'm not sure GoldenEye is ever going to show up on the N64 side. That's a great point, and Jason talked about that in our intro tonight too, is that GoldenEye is kind of the Mario RPG of the Nintendo 64. That makes no sense at all, and also perfect sense at the same time, if you think about it. That is that game everybody's going to want on N64 that is just that's going to be the hardest to get because of all... It's not just the licenses to the 007 franchise, which... Did you know Amazon owns that franchise now when it comes to the movies?
Why am I not surprised?
Because they bought MGM.
But I'd like to remind you, though, about Mario 64... This is why they don't sell the Mario 3D All-Stars collection anymore. Because if you want to play Mario 64, you got to pay a monthly fee instead of paying a flat fee. Thanks, Nintendo. You're awesome.
I didn't connect those dots. Good job. Good call out on that. Bobby Blackwolf is saying, reminder, GoldenEye didn't age well. In some ways, neither did Super Mario RPG. I know that's a controversial statement, but I think there's a lot of people that when you go back and play that again, you're going to be like, oh, this just kind of hit differently when I was a kid. So, but not only do you get into the movie rights holders and all those issues, then you get into like Pierce Brosnan's likeness issue and all that. And I don't know how easy that's going to be to get around.
Just make him Daniel Craig like they did for the really crappy GoldenEye remake that they did.
And who knows if they could even do that. They would have to make, you know, just a very – put Mario's face in it and have Charles Martinet voice it.
We'll put Chris Pratt in there.
Moving on. I have one other kind of Nintendo, Super Nintendo sort of thing. And that is that the Disney Classic Collection is getting revised. So there's going to be a new version of this that's going to be out on the Nintendo Switch for $29.99 on November 9th. There is, if you own the original edition, you can get a DLC pack that will upgrade you to this new Disney Classic Collection because there's more games. It's The Jungle Book and more Aladdin for $10. The original Classic Collection was Aladdin, The Lion King, and The Jungle Book. The new one will have, I guess there's Aladdin the Final Cut, Aladdin Demo Version for the Mega Drive, Aladdin Japanese Version for the Mega Drive. So there's like some extra stuff there. But also, of course, The Jungle Book was missing before, so that's coming out as well. There's also, and there's what some third-party folks are choosing to do instead, is release their own collections. Hence why we don't have Secret of Mana in the Super Nintendo collection. Hence we didn't get a Castle of Illusion announcement on the Genesis pack, even though that's not part of this. I'm sure, you know, Disney and all them have their plans for that. That's for sure. Comments in chat. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, this was neat. I might have to look for the new collection. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, $30. I mean, it's only a handful of games, but they are pretty solid. And it is Disney IPs, so we know why it costs a little bit more. You're paying that premium. But it is something available. So I thought that was neat. Let's move on to Dark Sakura.
So going to the UK, and I think this is awesome, and I would like to see more of this happen, but the, quote, microtransaction and in-game ads, they're basically being smacked down quite a bit more. The UK's Advertising Standards Authority updated their guidance on how game developers and publishers should and should not advertise in-game currencies and other purchases. They're pushing back against labels such as best value and stuff like that. And also, you know, with this rule, it's supposed to prevent misleading players into spending more money than they would have otherwise by putting 30% off, 20% off, etc. And the ASA is also a self-regulatory agency for advertising in the UK, for those who don't know. For games that have premium currency that's only available via real-world money, they want the advertisements and pop-ups to include a real real currency value. So, for example, if you were going to buy a weapon for 500 gems, you would be told how much it is in pounds. I hate that this article keeps going back to dollars when this is about UK stuff and the dollar isn't used there. So anyway, if an ad appears in-game, it'll say, oh, it's X gems and X pounds. So I really think that that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if that has any type of like ripple effects to over here. But at the same time, usually it's kind of like when the UK passed that law about internet cookies and stuff, like we all have to deal with it too, because now all the websites have that pop up. This site may use cookies, you know, and all that stuff. So,
and I block everyone that I can.
Yeah, some of them are very deceitful in the way they do it, though. But it, you know, big surprise, right? It is what it is. Yeah. And this just
well,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the big thing about this is that, you know, they've made these requests, right? They've requested that devs give notifications about like loot boxes, but they're still trying to get loot boxes made like gambling. But the thing is that they aren't able to interpret or enforce the legislations or fine companies that break their guidance, but they can refer the serious offenders to other regulators. So they're more like, this is your warning. This is your warning. Don't. We're telling mom. And that's
all right. We'll see what develops with this. Could be very interesting. Let's move on. Loki.
So unfortunately, fortunately, we have news that the Twitch and the music industry have struck a deal. Unfortunately, it's not a good deal for at least the users of Twitch. So the main changes that are going to happen now is instead of basically taking down your entire channel if there's ever like a copyright strike, they are going to now remove any VODs or clips that contain the unauthorized music from the creator's channel. And if it's a live stream that's basically flagrantly, you know, violating copyright, like rebroadcasting the music concert or something like that, then they may also issue a warning or penalty depending on the creator's history of that kind of music use. So this isn't necessarily like I can now subscribe to something and be able to, you know, have licensed music on my channel. No, it is not that. And they haven't really given you any more tools necessarily to kind of work with this stuff. So it's unfortunate, a little underwhelming.
This is very much a, like, this is not, oh, you can go ahead and just play music in the backgrounds of your streams like many of you used to do, like have your Spotify playlist up while you're, you know, sitting there playing League of Legends or something. You're just playing your Spotify, you know, trance favorites or whatever in the background. You can't do that. That's not what this is going to allow you to do. This is basically kind of protecting Twitch's ass more than anything to get sued. And I guess it's a bit of a courtesy that they will, instead of giving you a strike, just delete the VOD. That's about it. That's about all you get. SG100 Matt in chat says, this is like the quote from The Godfather. Here is my offer to you. Nothing. Kind of. On a related note, have you seen that latest thing going around Twitter today? It came up kind of like later than our show roll kind of goes out, so I didn't have time to add it. But apparently Twitch is adding some things on the back end. They haven't had an official announcement. I don't know how people find these like Twitch leaks, if there's like people that work at Twitch that are leaking information or what, but there's like screenshots and stuff now that are showing that Twitch is about to enable where you can choose that your chatters, in order to chat in the channel, you have to have like so much watch time, or you've had to have been following for so long, or that you have to have like a two-factor authenticator on your account or things like that. Like there's all these different things that you can add to chat. And I want to say, was it following as well? Something else. There was another one that they had put in there. They were putting restrictions on.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, it still has nothing to do with follow botting, where you get just these random bots that follow you, and some of them have really gross avatars and usernames. In fact, you may be experiencing some of that while this show is going on tonight. You may have noticed, and we're trying to, you know, just shoo it out of here. Luckily, our Streamlabs does not work like 99% of streamer Streamlabs, so it's probably confusing whatever little child is trying to play that game right now, is that it's not having the same effect on this channel that it has most places. Thank you. Tiger Class says one of them is verified email. It also does not stop hate raids. So I'm meaning the actual raiding of a channel from an account with very few followers, not affiliate or anything like that, who uses disgusting images as their profile picture. So it doesn't stop that either. Hopefully that is coming. but I guess it's a first start. I mean, it's a little late, but all right, let's try to acknowledge its movement in the right direction. It's where we need to go. I will give it one clap. It's not even implemented, actually. It only gets a golf clap for now. Then when we actually get the implementation, maybe there'll be more to say. SJ100 Matt in chat says, Twitch is giving folks a cookie with this new feature they're adding. We're all going to take a bite, but there's a chance there might be raisins there. Yep. All right. Let's talk about more lawsuits. We have a lot of legal news tonight. Let's talk about Quantic Dream, which, of course, was the developer behind Detroit, Heavy Rain. Recently, they went to a libel action against French newspapers who published allegations of misconduct that happened at the company in 2018. The court has now ruled on kind of a split decision, which is interesting. Quantic Dream did win the libel suit against Le Monde, the French newspaper, but it lost the other libel suit against Mediapart, which was the other French newspaper. Apparently, this is kind of weird because these pieces were like a collaboration between them all. So this is one of those, the court doesn't make any sense in this regard. And many of us are sitting here like Nick Fury going, given this decision, I have chosen to ignore it, or whatever that line is. It's kind of wild what's going on. Mediapart won the suit by proving that there was good faith reporting practices. They're saying that's kind of one of the key differences here. But Le Monde failed to meet the burden of proof, which was the unwillingness to disclose the anonymous sources to the court. Also, some folks that analyze what happens in French courts, you can't put the same standards that you might be used to in the U.S. or from all the Law and Order that you watch, and so you think you know about court. It doesn't work the same way in France. French libel cases are known to be notoriously difficult. You have to prove not only what you're saying is true, but that you had all the evidence at the time that the article in question or whatever it is published, and all of that burden falls on the defendant. So that might explain why Le Monde didn't work out there. But the fact that one of them won, because Mediapart won, it kind of does show that the allegations against Quantic Dream were there. There was probably a spark of truth in there. Allegedly, I have to choose my words carefully because apparently Quantic Dream will sue anybody that misstates it. But if it sure looks like from this court ruling, it wouldn't have gone their way if there wasn't some truth in it. So that's what I see in that situation. So. All right. Now the folks in chat are arguing about oatmeal raisin cookies. Here's the thing. I enjoy an oatmeal raisin cookie when you tell me it's an oatmeal raisin cookie, and I have time for my taste buds to prepare for that oatmeal and raisin taste. When you mix it in a plate that also has chocolate chip cookies, that's not nice. I would say the exact same thing with carob chips. I'm sorry, carob chips are not chocolate. I understand why they exist. I understand, you know, that's fine. Just, you need to warn me. You need to warn me. All right. Moving on. Let's go back to a simpler time when we were gaming and had lots of cookies in our next segment.
For the record.
Oh, I'm on point.
Oh.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
All right, and Dark Soccer, what did you pick tonight? And anything else you might want to clarify?
Well, I was going to say cranberry oatmeal cookies with chocolate chips are divine.
I can go with that. I like cranberries.
Or like Jason said, cranberry orange cookies are also divine.
Ooh, they make like a chip that's really good. Anyway, we can all see the game on screen.
So, the game in question is Super Fantasy Zone, which is a game actually that I would love to get my hands on. I have been looking for a legit copy for a while. And if someone could make sure that that lands in my hands, I would love you forever. The game came out only in Europe and Japan. It was released in Japan on January 14th, 1992, and Europe September 11th, 1992. And we didn't get a U.S. release on anything until July 21st, 2008. It came out on Virtual Console. It was also included on the Sega Genesis Mini. So it's a free-moving shoot-em-up. It's like all the other Fantasy Zones, but it has the distinction of being on the Mega Drive, or the Genesis as we had it over here. It's got really good music. It really fits the feel of the original games. It had a different composer. It was Kodaka Naoki. But it had lots of the themes that kind of went along with the original Fantasy Zone music that was done by Kawaguchi Hiroshi. So in this particular game, you are playing as the Opa Opa. And he's fighting to avenge the death of his father, Opapa, who was killed Sorry, I don't know why Siri is talking to me, because this is stupid. Apparently Siri thinks that she's the Opa Opa, I'm just saying. Anyway, he was killed defending Fantasy Zone against Dark Menon, and Opa Opa has to cleanse the Fantasy Zone of these evil creatures, evil beings, and restore peace. So it's very Defender, you know. I would say this is the logical spiritual. The series is a spiritual successor to Defender. You have to shoot down all the enemy generators, and then once it's destroyed, all of them are destroyed in the level, you get a Menon Guardian that you have to fight, which is the boss of the level. And you also collect gold, and the gold is used in the store, and you can buy certain things that do have a limited use. I love getting, like, the 5-ton weight, you know, that you can just drop on people. And, you know, the rocket jets and the bigger wings and all of that. You get a lot of gold when you beat the Guardians. So, I mean, it's just Fantasy Zone. It's how all Fantasy Zones are. The best thing about the Opa Opa is that he'll fly around with his cute little wings. But when you when he's on the ground, he has little feet and walks around. Anyway, this one was developed by Sunsoft and published by Sega. And it really, it was just the 16-bit entry into the Fantasy Zone series. You know, I think what was... And Fantasy Zone is deceptively hard. I mean, if you have good reaction time, it can be pretty easy, but there's a lot of stuff going on the screen at any given point in time. And the bosses are pretty bullet hell style, you know, like before there was real bullet hell. But they're fun games, have great music. To this day, though, my favorite is still Fantasy Zone 2, Tears of Opa Opa. And that's it.
All right. As I'm finishing a cookie over here myself, can you guess what kind of cookie
Girl.
I'm having?
What?
I'm having a JoJo, so that's a Trader Joe's knockoff Oreo. They have pumpkin, because Alan went to Trader Joe's last week during the show, actually, during all the pumpkin things, and he brought them all home. So, there you go. Anyway.
Rob.
Yes?
I did not, by the way, have a pumpkin spice latte, because this year I'm not going to have one at all.
Well, that's disappointing.
But I had a chai with the apple stuff in it.
Oh, I love the apple drink.
It was delightful, but too sweet. They definitely need a sugar-free version.
It is a very different kind of drink. It's very sweet, but I love it. Like it.
Well,
it
no, I
sweet.
Didn't. I didn't have their macchiato thing because I don't like caramel.
Oh,
but I had it.
You had the stuff in another drink, basically.
Yeah, I had a chai. Yeah. With the apple stuff. I think next time I do it...
Just get it without caramel. It's just a drizzle they put on top. It's easy to get it without it.
But I wanted it with the chai.
Oh, well, that works.
To get the spiciness out of the chai.
All right.
But next time I do it, I'm going to do half as much of the apple. The thing is that, like, I want pumpkin-flavored things. and not pumpkin spice flavored things. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I want pumpkin soup.
I've been lectured on the difference many times by many people as if I don't know anytime my pumpkin spice
just,
thing comes
the
up.
The thing is that a lot of places will go way too heavy on certain mixes of the spice. And that combined with just the overwhelming sugariness of their syrup, I can't drink it anymore. It's too much.
Now, speaking of drinks, and before we get back into some news,
I will make it at home, by the way.
I want to bring up the classic drink of the week, because Jamie, you will get a kick out of this. I am actually drinking, and this is not an endorsement. They don't pay us for this. However, those of you that listen to OLR back in the day, there's going to be like two or three of you that are going to get this joke. I apologize, but give us this joke. We'll notice on camera that I am currently drinking a Propel.
Yeah.
And you might remember back when we played DDR and we were, you know, quote unquote, working out a lot and, you know, really sweating to some of those nine footers that we would play in DDR, the hardest level songs. Propel kind of became that drink that everyone fucking had for like the hydration and all that stuff. Again, this is not an endorsement. It is just we all were really into it. It was, you know, and it tastes pretty good, actually. And, yeah, so they have them at Costco, and Alan got a bunch of these for his workouts, and I steal from them once in a remember. I steal from them once in a while.
I like Propel for a while, and then I think they changed their formula.
They still taste similar to me, but they definitely changed the look.
Yeah. We've actually been going for a Pocari Sweat in our house, which actually tastes very salty, like sweat, and kind of looks like sweat. But Dan likes it.
I actually thought this was an apple-flavored beverage at first. But actually, it's kiwi strawberry, which apparently I can't tell the difference.
Ew.
There you go.
Right. I don't like kiwi I don't like kiwi anything.
Oh, I don't mind it. I like it.
Well, you can have all of it, Rob. I just want like a regular strawberry flavor. For the record, I'm addicted to pink drinks, the end.
Fifth Dream in chat says, I drink a lot of Propel and Powerade Power Water because zero sugar. Yeah, it is zero sugar, which, you know, is important. Orange Wright says, I kind of remember that. And Dark Tetsuya says, Pepperidge Farm remembers, by which I mean I remember. So there you go. Your classic drink of the week. All right. Moving on. Or we could talk about what I had at the bar last night. I also had some drinks last night, but I'll save that for another episode. All right. Let's get into some rapid fire news and talk about some other news around the industry pretty quickly. Loki, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so let's talk about some stuff that was announced during the Tudum. I love that name of that event. The Netflix event that they were talking about. The brand new season of The Witcher is going to be coming. That's on December 17th. Also, they're going to be making a kids show that's based off The Witcher. Maybe Witcher Babies? No? Yes? I guess we'll wait and see. And then also, the League of Legends animated series that's supposed to be coming out as well, that is going to be debuting on November 6th. So look forward to that as well. And, not necessarily gaming related, I know some people don't necessarily like it, but I think the new live-action Cowboy Bebop looks pretty awesome. They released
that intro is perfect.
The intro for that, and I'm down for that. That's that. And then, not Netflix related, the games for October's PlayStation Plus have been announced or leaked or however you want to call that. And those include Hell Let Loose, Mortal Kombat X, and PGA Tour 2K21. So, look forward to those in a couple weeks.
I'll finally be able to pick up Mortal Kombat 10 or X or whatever it's called. Nice.
X10.
Yeah, it's because it is Mortal Kombat X. They did say that at one point. It's meant to be a pun.
It's Final Fantasy X,
but it's Final
again.
Fantasy X. Do you remember that was a good OLR moment? Do you remember when we emailed them to get clarification and they actually responded like that? That was back in the day when like podcasts were actually important. We actually got a response from Square Enix and they told us it is pronounced 10 or 10. Yep. It was 10-2. It is pronounced 10-2, not X-2. All right. Anyway.
And I could have told you that.
I know.
I did tell everybody that, but one believed me.
But I think we wanted to get it from the horse's mouth. We were like, well, can't we just ask them? And it's like the one time they actually cared what we thought. It's great. All right. Anyway, let's move on. I think Dark Soccer, we have your stories.
Yes, there is another series of games that I absolutely love, and it's the Cotton Games. And something that I would have just murdered to have my hands on as the Cotton Guardian for Saturn tribute and Panorama Cotton, which Panorama Cotton, I think they only made 600 copies of. One of my friends has one. But this particular release is going to have Cotton Guardian Force Saturn Tribute, Cotton 100%, and Panorama Cotton. It is they haven't said what platforms it's going to actually, hold on for a second. Guardian Force Saturn Tribute is due on PS4 and Switch on September 30th in Japan with English text. The other two ports do not have release dates on them, just that they're going to come out by In-In Games and Strictly Limited Games in 2021. And you know I'm going to have them.
Yeah. And reminder, if you haven't picked it up already, the Cotton reboot came out recently. Dark Tetsuya says I still need to get a hold of the Cotton reboot. Yeah, that came out on Switch.
I'm being given a copy.
Oh, well, how nice. How nice that people give you things.
No, I believe I have friends who order too many copies. I think I've done Panorama Cotton as a classic game, and
I'm
for
sure
anyone
you've
who,
done like several games in the series as a classic game. It's been like 600 episodes of that segment, but yes.
Well, the thing is that for those who don't know, Panorama Cotton, apart from just its rarity, was also pretty difficult to emulate. It is a scrolling behind the character, behind the shoulder, actually the full character, shooter. And it actually had its own sequel on the Dreamcast called Rainbow Cotton. That when Rainbow Cotton came out, you best believe I had it. And it's really fun and fucking hard.
Even I want to get the Cotton reboot as one of those things where it's like, oh, Jamie never shuts up about how great this game is. And it does look really cute.
Oh, yeah. Games are great. I mean, the whole Cotton series. And I'm going to tell you right now, with as cutesy as it is, it's not easy. It is a challenging game.
Orange Wright in chat with our Wiki Master, which I guess is actually now like what, Fandom or whatever they changed it into. Anyway, there is a whole Orange Lounge Radio Wiki.
I've done two Cotton games.
Where certain things have been tracked. And yes, Magical Night Dreams Cotton Boomerang was episode 251, which was actually the second classic game of the week. We changed that segment from your website of the week or whatever it was before that. We changed that on episode 250. So it wasn't the first, but it was the second. I think the first was probably Guardian Legend.
I believe it was.
Or may have been one of the other Fantasy Zone games, actually, if that's come to my head.
I don't remember. It was long ago and I'm old.
Well, it's all right there on the wiki, and I'm sure it's about to get pasted in the chat.
And Orange Ride also says Panorama Cotton was 486 and 250 was Fantasy Zone. That was my first one.
It was your first one. Wow. How interesting that's come full circle tonight on 885.
And I think I've done like two other Fantasy Zone games. I'm pretty sure.
I didn't even know these Fantasy Zone games existed. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, I know. Like, I think I've even done like some super obscure shit like Puzzle Indus.
Oh, of course. After 600 episodes of the segment, do you think we'll ever retire this segment and move on to a new segment?
No.
No, I don't think
I get new access to games every year.
Yeah, exactly. New game show every year. And also, we've mixed it up with like the flag and that stuff. I do think maybe, I'm just going to throw this out there, maybe for the, and this is your call, Jamie, but for the 20th anniversary next year, maybe you should reopen the archives for like the ultimate classic games of the week and like revive 12 really good ones. But that's just a thought. I don't know. I don't know if you want to do it again. Maybe you don't want to do them again. But I'm like,
I could do the classic game master list.
The classic game segment is now eligible to be a classic game. So I think it's time to be a meta on that a little bit. All right.
Well, I'll think about it.
Orange Wright in chat says, I do like it when the reboots still have the original included. I wish that ActRaiser Remaster included the Super Nintendo version. Yes, I'm with you there, Orange Wright.
But can't you play that anyway on the game store?
I do not believe it is part of the... I think it was on Virtual Console back in the Wii U, Wii days, but I do not believe it is in the Switch Online library.
Why the fuck not?
Because of... this game that we just got, I'm guessing in part, but that's a great question. Why the fuck not? All right. I'm sorry.
So next year, I'll count down my top 12 classic games.
Love it. All right. One other story here, right?
Oh, yeah. I guess I get to talk about other stuff.
Rapid fire news.
I can't brain rob.
It's fine.
So there is a legend in Japan that is closing its doors after a 28-year run, and it is the Sega Ikebukuro Gigo arcade is closing on it's already closed on September 20th. So alas, thank you for 28 years. And the loudspeakers played Hotaru no Hikari, which is Light of the Firefly. And it's usually played right before Japanese stores close,
mm-hmm.
or right at closing time. And it's gone. It had a big crowd. Everyone was sad.
Yeah, SJ100 Matt is echoing that. Folks crowded the Sega arcade. It was wild seeing the video for it. I didn't think there was video out there, but that's...
Oh, I'm sure there's video. It has to exist.
I hope everybody was behaving and wearing their masks. All right.
This is Japan.
Yeah, it's true. All right. all right, let's move on. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. Let's go to the U.S., Loki.
Yeah, so we've got a few games coming out this week. Way, the Survival Series, that's on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and Xbox One. We have Dandy Ace on Nintendo Switch and Xbox One. Dragon Quest, The Adventures of Dia, A Hero's Bonds on iOS and Android. Ghost Runner on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. Lemnis Gate on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Nioh, The World Ends With You on PC. We have a New World on PC. Outer Wilds Echoes of the Eye on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Insurgency Sandstorm on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Astria Ascending on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Darksiders 3 on the Switch. Doctor Who, The Edge of Reality on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Ooh boy, I'm super excited for eFootball 2022. That's coming out on pretty much everything. Yep, super excited about that.
Pass.
One. No, the one I'm actually excited about is Hot Wheels Unleashed on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Actually looks really cool. The Legend of Heroes, Kuro no Kisuke, and that's on PlayStation 4. We've got Mary Skelter Finale on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Melty Blood Type Lumina on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Toy Soldiers HD on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And the not quite better than eFootball 2022, but it is yet another football game, FIFA 22, your gambling loot box simulator that is coming out on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Stadia, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Actually, I would say probably most of those last-gen systems. Just make sure it's not the Legacy Edition, because Legacy Edition means we just updated the roster and threw it back out again for $60. Pay attention to those. Also, it sucked. Just don't buy it. The end.
All right. Moving over to Japan and checking out the releases there. On the Nintendo Switch this week, this is interesting, Hades gets its Japanese release this week on the 30th. I don't know if that's been redubbed. The voice acting is some of the neatest part of that game, so I'm curious if they've redone it in Japanese. I assume so, but the screenshots aren't giving me any indication one way or the other. But regardless, the official Japanese release is this week on the Switch. Also in Japan this week, we talked a little bit about this earlier, but Cotton Guardian 4 Saturn Tribute is out this week in Japan. We also have B Project Ryusei Fantasia is out this week in several different editions. Hot Wheels Unleashed also makes its way to Japan this week. And that Melty Blood type Lumina is also available in Japan in a regular and a limited type of edition. Miyamoto's Arithmetic Classroom, the complete puzzle collection to become smart. I don't know why that name is so fucking funny to me, but it is just like, hey, if you play this game, you will be smart. The end.
Only geniuses play this game.
That's right. Only a genius can pass level 7.
Oh, yeah. It's mobile game, add the game.
Anyway, that is out of Japan this week. I don't know of a U.S. equivalent to that, so... but I just Miyamoto's Arithmetic Classroom, the complete puzzle collection to become smart. All right, there it is. The definitive smart people.
What if it was to become dumb? Like, it's just all wrong.
No. Orange Wright puts, add, fails, simple puzzle. That shit happens to me all the time. And I hate when I actually play those stupid little ad games. But you know, like the one where like the fire is going through and it's about to set the guy on fire and you're supposed to turn a thing. Well, sometimes I just want to kill the guy, okay? Anyway.
Sometimes I just close the game.
I love to play the game on Twitter. It's called Block the Account That's Advertising That. Block the Sponsored Account.
On the PlayStation 5 this week in Japan, Saints Row the Third Remastered gets its Japanese release this week. So there's that. And then Hot Wheels Unleashed and Hades also on the PlayStation 5 this week. FIFA 22 also on its way by the time the weekend comes around. Let's go to the UK.
So for the remainder of September, on the 28th, we have Hercule Poirot. I always mispronounce this guy's name, the writer, Poirot, The First Cases. We have Overcooked Special Edition. We have The Escapists 2, Golf with Your Friends. Friends don't let friends play golf, yo. Poker Club. We have Crisis Remastered. Ori the Collection. Ghost Runner. In Sound Mind, on the 29th, we have Insurgency Sandstorm. 30th, we have V-Rally 4, Darksiders 3, Crazy Chicken Shooter Bundle, and Hot Wheels Unleashed. And then, in October, we have Away, the Survival Series. Gree is coming out on Switch. Chernobylite, also on the first for PlayStation. Sonic Colors Ultimate. We also have Blaze and the Monster Machines, Axel City Racers, Rico London, Phoenix Point, Bugsnacks, and FIFA 22.
What's Crazy Chicken Shooter Bundle? Because you got my attention with that one.
I closed it.
It's shovelware. They're Crazy Chicken Shooter. So let's go down the rabbit hole about the Crazy Chicken Shooter saga here that all started on the Wii. It was on the Wii, actually. And
wait, shovelware on the Wii?
I know.
No.
On my Wii? you know, so it was a bunch of just really cheap, like, I guess, like, arcade shooter games. And they made a lot of them. Because they were shovelware and cheap to produce. So now it's a collection of those because you'd want a collection of those for some reason.
Fantastic. All right. Let's move on to some more stories. Loki, why don't you start us off with this first story?
Yes. So apparently people are upset with good old games because... The Hitman Game of the Year edition, which launched on GOG recently, has DRM. And because GOG prides itself on being DRM-free, people are not happy about that. So they are review bombing the game because the game does have online DRM. And that is kind of the reason why people purchase stuff on GOG in the first place is because they know it's going to be DRM free. Not sure what they're going to do to necessarily address that, if anything, but just keep that in mind if you're going to purchase the game, that it's going to have DRM on there. But it, you know, to be fair, it does say on the actual store page that it does have DRM, but people are still mad about it. It's the principle of the thing, I guess.
Well, I think it's also kind of like, you know, it kind of goes against what GOG is so known for, you know?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So. All right.
They are saying, though, if you have purchased the game and you're not satisfied with that, you can use your right to refund the game. At the same time, they said that they also want some feedback and they don't want to they're not going to tolerate review bombing. But
All right. Let's talk about TwitchCon coming back. Not this year. Some people saw the headline and thought it was this year. Isn't that a little soon? No. TwitchCon is planning to come back in 2022. Now, of course, you know, we're all hoping the COVID situation is in a very different place come 2022.
I want to go.
I want to go too. And you know what's going to be interesting about this? Let me just quickly say, TwitchCon will be in Amsterdam in July 2022, and TwitchCon will be in San Diego in October 2022. This is very similar to what they were trying to do in 2020 before all this happened. They're kind of going back to that schedule. Yeah, Dark Soccer is saying, I want to go. I absolutely want to go as well. And I think what's going to be interesting about this, I don't know if it's because of the pandemic or what, but because Twitch culture really feels like it's grown so much, I feel like there's a lot of people that want to go. I'm starting to wonder if this con's going to run into like ticket and availability issues, like some other cons hit. I worry that we're going to hit that with this con. So if you're going to go, I would get your ticket as soon as they go on sale. There is that. Even Mike Deft in chat says, I want to go too. TwitchCon San Diego is like a 3-hour car drive. I might finally meet Mike Deft. That would be fun. That'd be great. We'll see. But yeah, I definitely have my sights on TwitchCon. I want to go. Dark Soccer says she wants to go. Loki would probably go if he could. Alan will probably want to go. In fact, I know he wants to go. He wants to meet all the Twitch streamers he hangs out with that are all going to be there, you know, which are pretty much all we know. If you watch any Dead by Daylight on Twitch, there is a running gag in multiple channels that Dark Soccer and I clearly watch the same people. Clearly.
It mostly happens in Puddins and who was it? Was it Bourbon the other day?
Maybe I'm actually not sure I follow him, but I watch him oddly and I need to just follow him. I don't know.
Yeah. Bourbon really actually nice. Today. And you know, I like to give, you know, some streamers a shout out, but Bourbon was my champion today, plugging up my, my marathon tomorrow, and Bourbon and Homotron. I know we've both been in Homotrons.
You got one from Puddins. I just got the push alert on my phone too. So,
oh really? Yeah. Puddins is also like, they're just fantastic people. I love this community. And I watched some of Hydro's tournament, by the way, him in Losing Color.
I saw a little bit of that, yeah.
It was hilarious, okay? Miss Barn, her whole thing, hilarious. The meme image was up there.
I'll shout out Tay Plays Games, because that's,
oh,
probably,
yeah, Tay.
That's the
Tay's
person I watch the most, probably, of Dead by Daylight.
Tay's our buddy.
And then I'm trying to think who else. Who am I missing? There's an Nick and Isaac.
Yeah, Nick. Yeah, well, yeah, Nick and Isaac.
Seeing their channel. So anyway, all right.
And
enough of that.
Honestly, the both of them are two of the nicest people ever. I'll just put that out there. Although I liked Evil Co.
But with, oh God, that was so funny. With all these random ass Twitch shout outs that we're doing, it's relevant because all of these people, I'm positive, are making plans to go to TwitchCon. And it's going to be a big meetup of that whole circle and other circles. So that's why I'm kind of like, I almost worry it might be too big. But I guess the San Diego Convention Center is pretty big, right? Because that's where they do Comic-Con. So maybe it can handle it. We'll see.
I'm going to have to order like a crate of Dark Sakura masks.
No One Special 77 in chat says, as fun as TwitchCon sounds, I just can't go due to finances and health. Well, for what it's worth, because it is TwitchCon, it'll be streaming on Twitch, a lot of it. I know, you don't get the people that way. But as far as places to see me next year, the only thing I can like 100%, 1,000% confirm for next year, I will absolutely be at Dragon Con 2022. So, like, I already know that that will happen. So you can plan on that for Labor Day if you're in the southeast part of the country. But I am trying to, now that conventions seem likely again, now that we know that conventions are possible with precautions and that whole thing, and hopefully with, you know, COVID, hopefully starting to fade a little bit as we get into next year, I think it opens up the opportunity to doing more conventions. There's going to be a local video game convention too that I want to do. So, because the Sac Horror people are going to put it on. It's going to be a horror and gaming convention. So that is going to be next year. So.
Well, I've also got maybe DerpyCon next year, so I don't know what's going to happen.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Let's talk a few more stories. And Darksoccer, I think you have one.
I do. Right. Right. Oh, yeah. Duh. I'm sorry. I am so, like, brain dead today after everything. I saw Transformers the movie again in the theater today.
Well, that's fun.
I think I've seen it now in the theater something like 7 or 8 times. And I have it on Laserdisc, so go fig. It's, you know, the movie actually does not make very much continuity sense, but it's fun. Anyway, Microsoft is rolling out a new Xbox dashboard that has an updated version of Edge, which no one fucking uses. So they have a Chromium version of Edge that's available to everyone on Xbox One, Series X, whatever. That allows Xbox to stream Stadia games via with access to Discord on the web and a lot more. It looks basically the way it does on PC or Mac. It has the collections. It has all the stuff. And as someone who plays on Stadia, this is a pretty good thing. I have been super happy with Stadia a lot. Now, NVIDIA is blocking access to GeForce Now, but that's their problem.
Why would they do that?
They just say they're investigating Edge browser support, but they've got it blocked.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, for reasons, quote fingers.
Pod Culture in chat says the Chrome-based Edge isn't bad, actually. And yeah, that's and even in my experience with Edge, like, it's different. Like, there's a reason why they separated it hard from Internet Explorer. They really are pushing to rebrand it, and I get it. Like, they're trying again.
Well, as someone who's on a Mac, I have zero need for Edge, and I've disabled it on my Windows 10 build.
Well, but there's still some good news here. The fact that it can do, you know, Stadia and stuff like that. So All is not lost.
You know what, though, is pissing me off is that Slobs, SteamLab OBS, still, after the updates, does not read Stadia on my Mac. So that's, I can't use all of the neat widgets and stuff I have for it. I have to use all my browser-based ones.
Sorry, you guys are going to hear some weird and see some weird Discord issues. I'm having problems with the way things are set up, and we're live, and so I just have to let it play out as we're live. Sorry about that. It's misbehaving.
Did what I say go?
No, you're fine. It's my monitor, my earbuds, that is having the problem, not the broadcast. Sorry about that.
Okay.
ZenMonkey11 in chat says, Edge is great with Altspace VR. It allows us to play movies for friends inside the app in VR. So, all right. Let's move on. Just a couple more stories for you guys, then we're going to get to the listener roundtable. I think we actually got an email tonight, and we have some other fun stuff, too. So, Loki, last story.
Yes. So this is exciting because this is one of my favorite fighting games ever. But there is apparently developers that are in talks for Marvel vs. Capcom 2, a remaster, remake, or something. I'm assuming a remaster at this point. But yeah, apparently, you know, Digital Eclipse is in talks with, you know, Capcom and, or I guess Disney and Capcom are, like, in talks as well. A possible new remastering this, so that would be very exciting. It says, we've begun some discussions on that right now. And we're trying to see how far we can go. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's not really up to us. So all we can really do is just make the best case possible and make it easy for them and see if they're interested.
Okay, but still, so let's send all our positive energy that this happens, because, yeah, this is a game I would very much like to see get updated and refreshed. Please, please, please.
Yes.
Although,
I also would like this. I would still like to see a Marvel vs. Capcom 4, but just not like that last one. Let's go back to Marvel vs. Capcom 3, please.
And Mike Def says, FYI, Digital Eclipse is composed by many who worked at Backbone Entertainment, who worked on MVC 2 HD on the 360 and PS3. Yes, my only thing, most of the time I see Digital Eclipse associated with stuff, it's just kind of like a really good emulation of the prior game. And if that's what we get, then okay. But I would be so, so happy if they really like HD-ified it. And like really made it something new. Cross my fingers. They do, you know, when like I think of some of the early Xbox 360 arcade releases, they did kind of go in and do new sprites, and you could switch back and forth and stuff. I really hope it takes full advantage of like 4K and all that stuff that the new consoles have to offer. But I'll just be happy if the series comes back at all. Quite frankly, if it's just downloading a legally emulated version of the game that runs well, you know what? I'll be plenty satisfied with that. To be honest. So
exactly.
All right. Moving on. One more story, and it has to do with old gamer picks on the Xbox.
I know.
So the Xbox Series X is going to let you switch back to your ancient Xbox 360 game pick. But here's the thing. I never switched away. And I guess that's a thing, too, is that if you never switched away, you still have your gamer pick. Here's why it's relevant, is because there actually at one time was an official Orange Lounge Radio gamer pick. You have to go way back, but back when Microsoft had this thing called the GamerScore blog that was kind of like their fan thing that was online, the GamerScore blog got together with a couple podcast networks and did some official like podcast art packs. One of the networks does, well, actually now both the networks don't exist anymore. But the network that we used to be on, had one of the All Games Network had the second pack that went up on the store. And so there were icons for many of the shows, that you could grab. Bobby Blackwolf had one, his little Wolfie icon. We had a Pixel thing that was done by Loki. So Loki actually did. Loki has an Xbox gamer pick out there that he actually did. So that is available as well.
It's also available on a t-shirt and other memorabilia as well. See the VOG Network store.
Oh, look at that. Very nice.
The Bobby Blackwolf stuff as well. I think that's also...
That is true.
Is on there.
VOGnetwork.com/shop if you want to check that out, along with some newer Dark Soccer designs as well. So you can go retro, you can go modern, whatever you want to do. You got all that available to you. But unfortunately, and I have to make this clear, you can no longer get that gamer pick. Around the time that blog closed down, which was a long time ago, I guess they removed all the associated content, unfortunately. So you can't get that official gamer pick anymore. I'm going to throw this out there. I would love nothing more than to get it back, however that may happen, although I don't think Xbox or Microsoft is interested in loading more gamer picks now because they've kind of moved past that, and it's all about those avatar items. But I'm just going to put it out there. However... if you want to go back to an old gamer pick that you do, if you did download it, then you still have it in your library. So if you got it 8 years ago, it's still in your library. So there is that. And you'll be able to switch back to it, because if you switched from your icon to like an avatar thing or one of the newer ones, you could never go back to your old one. And that's why I never switched, as I heard that was the case. And so I still have that OLR gamer pick to this day. And I'm pretty sure Bobby did the same thing with his gamer pick and never changed. So now the feature is rolling out to a group of testers in the Alpha Skip Ahead group. You only can go back to the current Xbox 360 gamer pick. So if you want to change that gamer pick, you have to change it on an Xbox 360. So there is that. I didn't know that. S-Jonehunter Matt says you can take an image of that pick and upload it to your console. You can use it. Well, as far as I'm concerned, and Loki, maybe this call's really with you, but if you can find a way to hack that thing on your console, by all means, do it. Get yourself an OLR logo. You agree with me, Loki?
Yeah, that's fine. I have the original image.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah, maybe
it's on my,
you should just put it up on Twitter. Here.
I've got it.
All right.
I'll put it in. I can put it in Discord.
Oh, fantastic. Do that. All right. That's pretty cool. By the way, this whole feature was done as part of Microsoft's exploration time. Employees are given half a day each week to work on projects of their choosing. And this is what somebody chose to do. Well, we love that. Thank you. All right. Let's get to the listener roundtable. If you'd like to call us, vognetwork.com/Discord will get you in the Discord and we'll take your calls. But I think we actually have an email tonight. Participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place where you can send an email. But we'll go to Dark Sakura.
So our email, our one email, says, hello, LR.
Hi, YYR.
Happy fall, everyone. The pumpkin spice code has been added to Pixel Poops as of this evening. Yay. You do remember what it is, don't you? If not, check the Discord. That is all. Have a great week, Aaron YYR.
Well, that is the world's shortest YYR email I think we've ever
it
got.
It is.
But for no, I'll
what have you done with YYR?
Thank you, YYR, for the pumpkin spice code. If I remember correctly, and I could be, because I shouted a bunch of things at him. I said, do ABBA. Was one thing I joked, but I believe he had said the blood code backwards was what he was going to go with. So it was going to be the blood code backwards, the classic Sega Genesis, but backwards. And I didn't bring it up in my gaming week last week, but I did go to Pixel Poops and I did try it with the strawberry ice cream thing. And that whole thing we talked about a couple weeks ago on the show. So that was cute to see. So yeah. And just shout out for Pixel Poops. On the Steam marketplace. And then, of course, Loki's very own Pixel Poops number 2 is also available on Steam. Or you can get number 2 specifically on itch.io over there at Techmaster Games. Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Okay, good. My memory worked today. Hooray. All right. Thank you for the email. If you want to send more emails, participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send those emails for a future week. Mike Defton chat says, check the OLR channel on Discord for the codes and the new one. Oh, did he post it in our Discord? He did say that in the email now, didn't he? Oops. And of course, right now I'm trying to bring it up live, forgetting that the cams are on you. Oops. I guess I shouldn't do that now. But I'm just going to assume Mike Deft is... was I right that it's just the blood code backwards, though? I have to look that up. Meanwhile, if you guys have anything for the listener roundtable, you can put that in our chat room here, and we'll get to that here shortly. And yes, there it is. Yeah. Oh, okay. So he did do ABBA, but it's ABBA twice. So it's ABBA ABBA. Fine by me. Twice the ABBA, even better. Perfect. Thank you, YYR. I think that's great. All right. How about any last-minute stories? Do we have any other? It seemed like it was a slower week in gaming news, but maybe there was something up that popped up on Twitter today before the show happened that I missed.
There's a tweet about the Last of Us series, and it's looking pretty good, and I'm going to get ready to sob ugly.
Oh, you playing it, or?
No, the TV show.
Oh, that series. Okay, I thought when you said series, you meant like, okay, yes, I forgot they were making a TV show. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, got it.
And I uploaded the icon. It's in our Discord now.
Fantastic. How about that? All this useful information in our Discord tonight. And I saw somebody use the exclamation command earlier. Sorry, for whatever reason, we're not modern like that. It's just Vogue Network, our website, vognetwork.com/Discord. I'll get you right in there. We have to answer those exclamation things by hand. I don't have chat tonight either. This is done. So I don't know.
Also a reminder in case you didn't figure it out, and I think I've mentioned it before, that the Konami code works in my game.
Oh, that's right. That's right. No, you hinted at that before, but I don't think we ever got confirmation on that. So that's fun.
Yep, it works.
And you just put out that plus edition of your game too, right?
I did, yeah. So then also with that, too, you can hold the A button when you press start and you play as the female character.
Oh, great.
So there's good. That. No real change other than the image, but, you know, it's something. I was going to make changes, but then I was like, I'm not.
Well, because women don't poop, so there would just be flowers that you would lay on the ground, right?
Well, why did nobody tell me that? That women don't poop.
Oh.
I've been doing the bathroom wrong my whole life.
Anyway.
Have you tried not doing that?
Anyway. All right. Bad joke gone worse. All right. All right.
I'll go there.
I guess that's it. We don't really have a lot of questions in chat, and I'll check the green room one more time. No, I don't see anybody there. So I think we're towards the end of the show. Unless, Loki, I don't know if you had any last-minute stories.
It's slow this week.
Yeah, it was a little slower this week. Understandable. That Nintendo Direct stole all the thunder. All right, let's get to final thoughts and all that good stuff. Hey, I want to thank you guys for listening to our show this week, whether it was on the podcast feed where nobody told me that last week's show was misnumbered. That's all right. Or whether it was live here on Twitch. Appreciate that. All those of you that listen live and listen to us on the podcast feed, we appreciate it. We don't ask for your money, but thank you for those that do the bits and the subscriptions and all that and shop in the store and all that. You don't have to, but you do. Thank you very much. The one thing we would ask for this content, if you wouldn't mind helping us spread the word, just tell a friend or two, help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, and we want to bring more gamers here to hear their voices. So tell a friend or two about the show. Social media awareness goes a long way. Tweet about an episode or what have you. Get people to the link that gets it on their devices. That link to Spotify, Apple Music / iTunes, wherever it is that you listen to this podcast, share those links. That really helps. It used to be that a host on Twitch would go a long way. Twitch changed some things, and I don't understand why, but I'll still ask for them because I don't see how auto hosts are a bad thing. It just doesn't do as much as it used to do, unfortunately. But that would be, of course, for our Twitch channel at VOG Network. And we already shouted out the store, so I won't shout that out again. I think that's really it. One more shout out for Dark Soccer Subathon tomorrow, which is
7 o'clock p.m. Pacific time.
It'll be a long night, but it could also be an early morning for you East Coasters.
It could be a long morning as well, because right. I'm stubborn as fuck.
All right. Check that out. And then, are you still streaming tonight after the show? Or
yeah,
is
I am.
Camera?
Okay. I'm actually already trying to get my OBS ready.
Okay, awesome. Then I think that was it. We'll be back in 7 days, of course, to do more show and talk about everything that comes up. It's going to be October next week. Can you believe that? Where does the time go? Yeesh. All right. Let's get to final thoughts.
In the toilet.
Dark Sakura, how about your final thought?
Support me tomorrow. Hang out with me. I'm doing a big thing. I'm really nervous about it. And someone bring me pizza and coffee.
If pizza places are open at those hours, Jamie.
At 7?
Well, yeah, when it starts, sure.
Yeah.
All right. But by 7 in the morning when you're done, I guess that's when the coffee comes in.
Well, I'm going to be buying cans of coffee after my chiro appointment tomorrow. And who knows? I mean, I wanted to start it at a decent time, you know, that people could at least be there for the start of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Good luck and have some good matches. All right. All right. If that's it for Dark Soccer's final thought, then I will go to Loki for your final thought.
My final thought is I've been looking to secure cases and stuff for my game as well. So just trying get closer to a physical release soon, hopefully this year.
And my final thought, I don't have a lot. Things are in a pretty good place right now. And I just thanks everybody for your support. Thank you for being a friend. Just like the Golden Girls said, I'm going to leave it at that note. Thank you for being a friend, but I'm not going to sing it because I'll get DMCA struck and Twitch is not going to protect me. They're only going to protect themselves. So on that note, thank you for being a friend, everybody. Have a wonderful 7 days. Happy gaming. And we'll see you next time here on Orange Lounge Radio. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.